Oh, hi, welcome to Pod as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
And
What's
this is our
up?
first. This
I have no
a.
AKA. I just Should we have AKAs? You know, people are like, "It's me." Why on my other pod, I'm Father Longlegs, but that doesn't quite work here. So I don't know. I am
Yeah, I also.
0.01% top Ariana Grande fan of, according to Spotify. So,
I
point one.
am.
Sorry, not point zero, but that's weird.
I don't go by any AKA on my other pods,
Your ally
so
Olsberg. Sorry, I know
that's
you have
true.
Ally Olsberg. Oh my
That's right.
God.
I forgot about that. It's been a while since I've said Ally Olsberg, and it's I think I have to normalize it and put that picture of me behind the alley billboard in WeHo as my as my cover. Anyway, I'm
Anyways,
Eli
let's introduce the
AKA.
guest.
I'm Eli,
Oh, yes.
aka Ally Olsberg. And joining us, oh, very excited for these guests because, oh, I know they're both huge Ari fans and they both have a lot to say. I know because one of them I've talked to quite a bit about a certain song that we're talking about today. So, all that build up to
And they
say,
have a
welcome.
podcast that it shares a name
Yes.
with an Ariana Grande song called Best Mistake. Welcome.
Yep.
Sorry, I cut you off. You could
It's
do the intro, Eli.
How the fuck did I just make that connection?
Wait, Mika,
Right?
you didn't realize that?
That's my favorite Ariana Grande album,
Ooh, I love
and
that
I'm the
one.
co-host of this podcast.
It's Mika Lomazzo and Anya Volz. We got through it.
Hi.
We did it. Hi, how are you
Welcome.
guys?
Yeah.
We
It
both
only took
talked
5 minutes.
before you introduced us.
Yeah, sorry.
We're too used to hosting. We're
No,
not
it's
used to doing
perfect
things.
for this episode. I mean, I feel like it's a very what's it called? What's that word where you predict something? Foreshadowing for this song.
Oh,
Well,
yeah.
and also the energy of me and Nika are both Aquarius. Teresa's a
Okay.
Scorpio and Anya's an
Ooh.
Aries. That's a lot of energy
Ooh,
to
okay.
have on
There
a
we go.
Zoom.
Fire and water and air, a little bit of air.
Mika is Scorpio moon and rising too.
Don't fucking out me like
Oh.
Hey, God,
Okay. Love it.
you're gonna see me in a minute. Just put my tapestry back up because for anyone listening, it just fell off my wall, but I'm fully present. I just,
Okay, great.
for myself.
Wonderful. So
On the
today we are.
Patreon, you get to see Nika putting the tapestry back up.
So today we're talking about two songs. We're doing two songs per episode for this album cycle. And the two songs we're going to talk about are Shut Up and 34 plus 35. Or is it 34 35? I guess she's.
34-35, or just
Yeah.
69.
Wait a minute, what?
So before we even get into that though, we want to know, we always ask our guests this, in whatever order you guys want to go, what are your thoughts on Ari and also on Positions as an album?
Like the to clarify, like how like we don't always have super fans, if that makes sense. So sometimes
Yeah.
it's like, I don't know Ariana Grande well, or I'm neutral, or I hate her. So just in general, that's like, how did you come to find her? You know, when did your fandom start or not start?
Nika, why don't you take it away? Because I mean,
Okay.
I've already kind of discussed this on your guys's podcast. I'll do a
That's true.
refresher, but Nika can go first.
Well, let me start by just saying that Ariana Grande is like prolifically important to me. I became an Ariana Grande stan, if you will, when it was like still en vogue to not like her. And this was when My Everything came out. Came out coincided with me entering my freshman year of college. And I had
Damn, you're
just,
young. I forgot
yeah,
how young you are.
I'll be 26 this month. I took a year off, so I went to college a little bit like later than I should have. And so My Everything came out at the same time as me, around the same time as me coming out as gay and then going to college and moving to New York. Break Free was like the big hit of that album, but in my opinion, the album has like every song on the album is a hit. So she has played a pivotal role in my queerness, I would say, because that album came out, and then when I started transitioning, she dropped Dangerous Woman, that
Ooh, great
album.
album. Oh, yes.
Great album,
Great
yeah.
album. I got fingered on dance floors after I got bottom surgery to Into You and Dangerous Woman.
Into You is like low-key so horny, but like it was like the precursor to horny now, Ariana.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, yeah, I would say that album as a as your Scorpio Moon and Rising, that really tracks, because that album I feel like is a Scorpio Moon. I looked up her sign thinking she was a Scorpio when I heard that album, and then I was like, what? But then I was like, oh, I guess.
Well, she's a Cancer, and that's like same off, you know, same like floor, just different.
It's like
part
a
of
really
tragic
building. Scorpio.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way to put it. And she also, I also think like Into You was the last like that type of bop that she made. I mean, like,
yeah, it was the last, like R&B bop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like even No Tears Left to Cry, which is probably the last like really upbeat like hit she had. But I think Into You is like the last of that kind of like club bop with like Break Free.
It.
And I do too. I now more than ever, I miss it. But it, honestly, I just want to say one thing, which is that I do think, though, if that kind of album came out now during quarantine, that would devastate me further. Like that she can keep doing her R&B phase until we can go back to the club.
I like this thing.
I agree. It's kind of like when Rain on Me came out. I was like, great, I want to slit my throat. Like,
exactly.
Like, you just released another song I want to get fingered to on a club dance floor and we're in a quarantine.
To be fair, though, Nika, you and I made the most out of Rain on Me. We got really drunk at Reese Beach with Rain on Me just on repeat.
Oh, fun. That's really fun.
Jacob Reese Beach being the like queer beach in New York City for people who don't know. And it's like it's basically like being at a gay club, but you're on the beach. So it was COVID safe. Although, to be honest, Reese got a little sketchy halfway through. It got really packed. And there was one day that we went where we were like, we should really not be here. It is no longer distant.
It was the super spreader event of the summer, but I'm glad that I was here. But yeah, I mean, I don't, so that's my relationship to Ariana Grande. She has been like weirdly a huge part of my journey of queerness. And then like my journey from one gender to the other, if you will. Also,
well, there are more than two genders, so to another.
Oh, yeah, well, for me, from my one gender to the other. Oh, I mean, I didn't have the in between, but it wasn't really.
Wow, Teresa, are you trying to outwoke a trans woman?
I was thinking that. I'm like, oh,
this
is
listeners, okay? This is, you this know. Is...
No, you're right. I
this is a great.
I can kind of like gloss over non-binary people a lot. I appreciate being checked.
This is a great episode of Red Table. Like, what a great episode of Red Table.
Cancel me, Daddy. Oh, so many people sent me that. I have a hat that I was limited edition sold, said cancel me, Daddy. And so many people sent me that picture of that racist girl with that a cancel hat. What is it? Yeah, daddy hat. Like, stop sending this hat. To me. Stop sending this to me.
I mean, unfortunately.
Anyways, you guys can cancel me, Daddy. It's fine. Cancel me.
And unfortunately, the daddy hat is now canceled.
That's the daddy hat. It's always, it's true. But that, anyways.
You ruined it.
I have a question for you, Nika. Is there any other pop stars that also, like, is Ariana your top, or do you have any
Stop
other?
Leading her to say Carly Rae Jepsen. Okay. This is
like, my top, is she my top pop star?
Well, yeah, I just mean, was there anybody else in that during that period? Because, you know, obviously she was very important to you. I'm just curious if there's anybody else who's in that pantheon for you.
So the only other pop artist, there were lots of like other musicians, but they weren't pop. The only other pop artist that was really big for me at that time was Taylor Swift, because 1989 had just come out.
It's a great album. So,
there's no denying that album.
So it was like, I was on the bops between those two albums. And then I had like a lot of like sad girl artists that are not pop artists.
Hmm. Okay. Yes. Okay. And then Anya, go ahead and chime on in with your...
Has your relationship changed since... the last pod is a woman. I mean,
I don't remember what I said. Also, wow, really depressing to think about the last time we recorded this, because we were all like in the same
world.
Room together. Ugh, take me back to when that was
yeah,
legal.
Please.
I don't even remember what I said about what like my relationship to her in general was at that time, because honestly, that was kind of towards the beginning of my relationship with Ariana. Because I wasn't really that into her in her earlier albums, but like Thank You Next was a big moment for me of being like kind of turned on to her. Like, you know, in the world of pop, there are just so many different juicy albums being dropped mm-hmm. constantly. So it's easy to kind of sleep on somebody. And I definitely slept on Ariana, probably too long. But by the time I came on your podcast 2 years ago,
Oh my God. I'm dying.
That was me towards towards the beginning of my relationship with her. So I don't even really remember what I said, but yeah, I mean, I've definitely, you know, 2 years.
Was your episode Better Off? Did we talk about Better Off?
No, mine was
Needy.
Yes. We talked about Needy and NASA, but Needy was technically what my episode was about, which is still to this day probably my favorite song of hers ever.
That's one of my top. Yeah, that's a great. I mean, I think having that and NASA back to back on that album is, I think, even more incredible than we realized at the time. Like in retrospect,
I know we did talk about that though on that episode. Yeah. We were like, this is a perfect pairing of two songs. So yeah, that album was definitely the beginning of my Ariana Grande journey, and I've since had two more years on that journey. sadly, not the Ariana part, but the 2 years part. So I definitely feel more strongly about her. I love her. I don't necessarily have like that kind of story that Nika has where it helped me through a certain chapter of my life or anything, but
you don't have it yet.
I mean, this album,
Ariana will keep making music throughout the next 400 years.
So. Yeah, exactly. This album, I mean, was huge for me just because of the pandemic. I think she and Miley and like Dua Lipa and Kylie Minogue, like they really just swooped in and saved the fucking heroic.
The shade that you didn't mention two Taylor albums. That remember when Taylor dropped two albums?
Hey guys, I have to go.
Eli or I could get through the second one.
Hey, I just
wanted just to like my edification, and I was like,
The second one wasn't good, but do not talk shit on Folklore, baby.
I like Folklore, but it's definitely like I wouldn't have listed it in my top quarantine.
I'm dying. I'm dying because of Nika's faces.
I remember a running thing on here to throw shade at Taylor because
I manically drove to Vermont to see Anya over the summer and only listened to Folklore.
Well, no, remember Folklore came out the first time you were in Vermont with me, and I listened to it while you were still asleep, and then you woke up and you're like, oh my God, a new Taylor album dropped. And I was like, yeah, it's not that good. And you're like, okay. And then you listened to it and you're like, Anya.
All of my girlfriends were like, yeah, it's not good. And I was like, am I going insane? Like,
that's how I feel about Tenet.
Yeah. Nika likes sad music more than I do.
It's not my favorite.
Drake and Angel Olsen are like two of my favorite musicians. If that's like a barometer for the sad music I like.
Sorry. What did you say, Nika? Who are your two favorites?
Nick Drake and Angel Olsen are two of my favorite.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So like, I like really sad, angsty music.
Yeah, and I don't really. So that's. I don't think Folklore is bad. I just didn't personally like it.
I did like it. I remember very vividly. I bought a milkshake and was listening to that album, and it was a great symbiosis. It was a delicious Oreo milkshake. And
he is kind of like the milkshake of pop singers, like a vanilla milkshake. It's not bad. It's just, it's good. It makes you happy, but it's like, I don't know. Does this make sense? I'm not sure.
No, yeah. Totally.
I started saying it, and then I was like, I don't know where this is going.
I definitely feel like Taylor Swift is like a sweet milkshake that will always hit the spot, but isn't necessarily like satiating.
Mm-hmm. Like a diner, like that's what I'm thinking, like late night diner milkshake, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't feel nourished by it, but I do enjoy it. That's how I feel about Taylor
Swift. And Ariana is like an acid tab that you're like, hey, you want to do this? And you're like hanging out with your best friends in Joshua Tree. And you're like, yes, I just saw the secret
opening your mind.
Universe and time.
Whenever we watch, I think we talked about this on the last episode, but I watched Taylor's Disney Plus like Unplugged ripoff, and then I also watched Miss Americana at the Draft House before the pandemic. I miss the movies more than ever, but watching both of those, Like, I need to stay away from those so I can like Folklore more. Like, I really enjoyed Folklore, and then I started watching her talk about the songs on the Long Pond sessions, and it made me want to self-immolate. Like, I hated it so much hearing her
I
talk.
Like Liz Americana.
Not to be dramatic, but I wanted to light myself on fire. Yeah, it's and then like I actually, we did talk about this on the last episode, but I have to bring this up with you too, because I just want to know, did you guys watch Excuse Me, I Love You?
No, I haven't. I don't feel like emotionally ready to watch it.
Yeah.
And then Anya and I talked about it, but well, yeah, please, listeners.
You like, Eli, you like held a gun to my head and forced me to watch certain parts of it. You're like, it's this timestamp.
I can guess. Was one of those the Midsommar part?
Yeah.
You were like, one of them was Needy.
So you know, Needy is this timestamp. And I was like, okay, I'll watch Needy. So I watched the timestamps you told me. So I watched Needy and NASA, but I didn't watch anything else because I, like Nika, I'm not emotionally ready to watch a fucking concert that I can't be at happen.
Yeah.
Teresa and I had already also gone to that concert that it still, don't get me wrong, it still hit real hard that I was like, I can't go to something like this right now. But I do think it made that pill a little easier to swallow.
Diary of when we went. Wait, I have something to add to my relationship with Ariana that I realized today.
Okay. Whoa.
I think we've talked to, well, I would just the idea that like, I obviously, it's kind of silly, but I realized that like, I have my first healthy relationship, I think like ever, was with Ariana Grande. And I feel like people who maybe grew up without good role models of healthy relationships can find that in artists. I'll clarify in the short version, so I don't want to get too into it. But like, in that it grew steadily, it was never like I hate her or ever I was obsessed with her right away. I remember the first time I feel like I truly saw her, like in quotes, like saw who she was I read an article about how she thought her phone was haunted because she went to a cemetery, like the Hell's Devil's Gate or whatever in Missouri, and took photos, and then spooky things started happening, and she kept seeing the number 6. And this was like when she was dating Big Sean. So it was like, she was big, but not, you know, not like Ariana Grande as she is now. And then she was like, and it was like the demons were in my phone, so I had to delete them. And that little thing, I was like, I see you. And then like, I see who you are. And that plus when Big Sean wrote the lyric about my girl has a $1 million pussy or whatever, and I can't remember her comeback, but she like responded in a very witty way. Those two moments, I was like, I see who you are. And she'd been that the whole time. So I steadily got to know her, still liked her music, grew to love her more. And it's different than like liking something and being so obsessed I can't stop. So I think she's the first healthy relationship I've ever had.
Wow. Okay.
Teresa, Ariana Grande doesn't know you.
I just mean like the feeling of how do you like something consistently and grow and not feel like they have to be everything for you, but you can always come back to them, but you can be individual and have your own space. There's a lot, you know, it's a lot going on there. And they can change. She's changed and I'm not mad at her for changing. You know, it's like this whole like...
You're not wrong.
Does someone have is there like music in the background or something? I just heard like some background audio. We're good. So I just like that. Just to respond to Teresa's thing, I like that Ariana likes horror movies. I've never felt closer to her than when she's like tweeting. Even though I didn't like Midsommar, she liked House on Haunted Hill, or excuse me, The Haunting of Hill House. And so that's the extent.
She loves Miyazaki too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, she's like a big, she has like a Spirited Away tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Studio Ghibli. All right. So, all right. Well, let's get into the songs that we're going to talk about this week. We are going to talk about Shut Up first, because it's the first track on the album. And I feel like this is going to be really short, but this part of it before we get to the big showstopper, which is that, you know what? I just realized something. I don't have a Zoom Pro account, so I have no idea when we're going to reach the end of this.
It just said you were upgraded, but I have a premium and it makes us log out. But I think they upgraded it for you.
I also have Zoom Pro if there's some way that we can make me the host or something, whatever.
All right, if we get cut off, this is just a little inside baseball for anyone listening. All right, so Shut Up. Here's just, we'll go really quick before we get into the nitty gritty of it. The song was written by quite a few people. Ariana Grande, Tommy Brown, who's like a producer she works with a lot. He pretty much has produced half of the last three albums. Stephen Franks, Peter Lee Johnson, Taylor Parks, Travis Sales, and Michael Foster. And the song was produced by Tommy Brown, Stephen Franks, Travis Sales, and Peter Lee Johnson. So what we kind of do is we just pick up some information. Anya, you obviously know this is more for Nika, but we pick up some information from genius.com about the song because they love to take an academic approach to these songs, and it's just pure nonsense, but it also is hysterical. So
I'm also on genius.com right now looking at the lyrics, and there's a really like almost insensitive interpretation they have about Mac Miller. I'm excited for us to get to that.
Yes.
Wait, does Genius say anything about my, I'm not going to mention it yet, but you know my theory, Eli, my theory about this song. Does it say anything about?
Oh yes, because you got the lyric wrong.
We'll
get into that in a second. So here's just the intro is that Shut Up serves as the opening track to Ariana Grande's sixth studio album Positions. On it, she gives an update on how she has been feeling since her last album and ends it at her critics on the chorus. It's instrumental features.
Calling an album an update on her feelings.
Yeah.
I got an update on that feeling.
That's what every album is, technically. It's an update.
Exactly. Yeah. It's instrumental features, orchestral strings, and layered vocals, which combine for a cinematic opener. So here's actually, it says here, responding to a fan tweet, Ariana revealed that not only is Shut Up first on the album, it's also the first track that was written. And she explained in an interview with what she was going for with the song. In an interview, she said, "So me and Taylor and Mikey did Shut Up. We just used all the notes on the scale. We were like, how can we make something that's fun lyrically and also so musical at the same time so that it feels orchestral and sophisticated, but lyrically it's just fun and chill."
I love that because it makes it sound like, if you hadn't heard it, it could go both ways where you're like, that could sound like she's dumb and doesn't know what she's doing. But then you hear it and you're like, that is exactly what it is. And you're probably like, brain moves so much faster that is a shorthand way to describe it, but there could have been a really stupid song out of that statement.
That's true.
We just wanted to use all the notes.
Yeah. We just want to use all the notes.
She describes it the way, like, once again, the way that it's like every album could be described as an update since the last album on how you've been feeling. Like, saying, like, how can we make something that's fun lyrically and also sound musical at the same time? It's like, Ari, that's what a song is.
Exactly. That's like when she said,
like, when geniuses can't describe, like,
oh, totally.
You know, they're just like, you know, and then you're just like, bop, boop, bop. You know that? Can you do that? Go. And you're like, what?
That it reminds me of when she, when we did the episode for Breathe In, literally the first thing it opens with, she goes, well, you know, the song's just about breathing. Like,
she's okay. Like, did you hear it? You don't know what it's about? It's pretty obvious. Listen to it.
Okay, So the first, this is, I think, what Anya's referring to. So the first, she says, my presence sweet, my aura bright, diamonds good for my appetite. Ariana has
this
referenced
isn't
shopping.
Even what I was referring to.
This
is another one. Yeah, it's lower down the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
To interrupt. So yeah.
It says Ariana has referenced shopping therapy in her 2019 smash hit Seven Rings, especially for luxury items. And it's no secret that Ariana has been through a lot recently with the Manchester bombing, the 2018 death of her ex-boyfriend, Mac Miller, and her breakup with SNL comedian Pete Davidson that followed soon after, ending their engagement. In this line, Ariana may be alluding to her shopping as a way of dealing with tough times.
The way it's phrased is just so...
it's ridiculous. I mean, I literally, whoever decided to do this update, truly, like, said, like, they typed a lot and it all adds up to nothing.
Just to be clear, just to kind of circle back to what lyric they're referring to, it's my presence sweet and my aura bright, diamonds good for my appetite. And that's what they gleaned from that. Like, they got all of that from this, like, very just, like, you know, sweet,
innocuous,
quick rhyme.
Yeah. And then she says, guess it fucking just clicked one night. All them demons helped me see shit differently. So don't be sad for me.
I love this. Finish the saying the thing, but I have like a direct correlation to this line.
Well, I just think that's I do think that's actually an incredible lyric to say, like, you know, I have my demons, don't feel sorry for me, because that's, you know, that's kind of what helped me heal. And it says here, it's just a rehash of the last thing. It says, the past few years have been tumultuous for Ariana, to say the least. She's been in the spotlight for really high highs, celebrations, accolades, awards, and albums, while also going through very seemingly painful lows. And then it goes on about her breakups, the death of Mac Miller, and so on.
Yeah.
And the Manchester bombing again.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of like, that's kind of a more fucked up thing to correlate with this lyric, because she's saying she's like grateful for the bad things that have happened to her. But I think she of all people would not include the Manchester bombing as one of those things.
Yeah. I don't think that's her intention, is not.
No, no, no. I just, it's insensitive of genius to be like, including the Manchester bombing. It's like, no, babe.
Also, she's already written a whole song about the Manchester bombing that she said was about the Manchester bombing, so she's not
right.
Yeah, it was a one and done.
She's processing, and then she's like, "I'm a person now. Yeah. Not everything I make is about the Manchester bombing."
Get well soon about the man, about PTSD and the Manchester bombing.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, that's also Thank You Next addressed all the stuff about her breakups and Mac Miller as well,
literally,
like,
by name. The song couldn't be more clear about who it's about. And then they keep trying to like stuff it into her other songs. They're like, this is about this. And it's like, maybe it's not though.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, the whole song is a response to the people like that though. It's just but
I like to think that the demons she's talking about is her lawsuit with Forever 21.
Oh my God.
She's like, that was really hard.
Did buy a shirt from there and then returned, or a jacket, but I returned it. It was a bomber. But I was like, I don't think this is official merch. But
no. And it wasn't.
Can I add one thing about this line?
Bankrupted their ass.
Yeah, she
please
did.
Do.
Okay, so at the beginning of quarantine, I did shrooms with my now boyfriend, but I had one of these things where, I mean, like, whatever, I've done shrooms before, but this was the really, really scary, cathartic, like, I guess, trauma processing one that was like, it felt really good overall, but during it, literally I tripped at like a scary demon clown, like it was like very gory, blood everywhere, but I was like, come in, and I invited it in, and it like followed me, and I had it sit down, and I talked to it, and I was like, it's okay, you're scary and I'm scared of you, but I'm not afraid of you. Like, I literally had talked to it to be like, I see you, you're scary, but you're me. And this line resonates with me so much, because it literally, after that, I've not been able to see the, like, I still get scared, you know, but it's a very different fear. Like, it's not an all-encompassing fear. It's a fear where I'm like, you're scary, but you're me. So the fact that I see you means you're me, so I accept you. And I feel like this line captured that for me.
You had, like, an actual hallucination on shrooms?
Yeah.
That's wild.
How much did you do?
Yeah, like,
A little bit. I mean, I think my brain, I was doing EMDR and had a lot of PTSD, so it probably just, like, the right cocktail of, like, brain waves, you know, but...
Yeah, because I was about to ask, like, I'll have what she's having.
It wasn't a lot. It only lasted, like, the actual trip was less than, it was, like, 3 hours, and then it was very, very chill, and it kind of, like, faded away. But, like, the feeling and the knowledge and, like, it didn't go away. Like, I just feel, like, I literally invited a monster in, because I was like, if I see you, you're me. Like, I created you. You're my head. And whatever I see, no matter how scary it is, you're me, and I'm going to look at you.
I will have what she's having.
Yeah, you've literally had a conversation with one of your literal demons. I love that.
I would love that.
And then
that.
I wrote a line that I'm not a poet, but it came out of this, but just if you fuck with me, my demons aren't going to be as nice as me. Kind of like, I'll be forgiving, but my demons won't be nice. But yeah, all about this, I like what Ariana's saying here. It's like,
yeah.
So now we go on to the chorus, which is her just saying, maybe you should shut up. She says shut up basically in about four different ways. She did an interview on the Zach Sang show, which, by the way, I've never fully listened to a Zach Sang interview. This guy seems to get a lot
to the
out
Zach
of
Sang show. I love
I gotta Sang. Yeah, I gotta listen to him more, because he really seems to get a lot out of artists that doesn't feel very manufactured. Whenever I see
fun about Zach Sang,
please.
First of all, he's friends with Ariana, so that's why his interviews with her are great, because they, like, hang out. But also, he's a virgin, and I just love adult virgins. I find them to be so peculiar.
How old is he?
He's, like, in his, like, late, mid to late 20s.
And he's still a virgin and he's like very public about that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because on the show, it's kind of like the Howard Stern show or any of these big interview shows where you end up really getting to know the person because it just like they that's just part of how they get good interviews is they're vulnerable with their guests. He talks like, I think he's gay, I guess. And it's something, it's been like a, like, it took him a while to figure that out. And now he's not very comfortable in his own sexuality and in his body. And it's this whole thing where he's not ready. And he's like open about not being ready.
That's, good for him. Yeah, all right.
Anyway, I find Zach saying very interesting. And I love his friendship with Ariana Grande.
I don't know much about him. I guess I'll have to.
Yeah, I'll have to. I mean, here I am. Here I am standing Ariana and I'm not even listening to the full Zach Sang interviews.
Yeah, he gets so, really good interviews out of he's got a really good interview with Miley, too. Anyway, continue. Well,
this is what she said in an interview with him. She said, I think shut up because we wanted to not be aggressive and preachy. I think shut up's pretty aggressive.
It's I think kind it of like, was maybe shut the fuck up at one point and she changed it. I mean, like, that's probably been. What she meant, right? Because it's like,
yeah. It's just kind of like an invite to, you know, act different and not spend so much time being negative and trying not to waste your energy talking about the people you hate. So it's kind of about, I think, like haters in a way, but not really because that sounds so corny because it's not. It's about people who you feel bad for because they live in the negative world and you want them to just come hang with you, you know, me and Taylor and Mikey and, you know, Vibe or whatever, or whoever fits in that circle, our circle. It's kind of just leaving a space for them to be better. I don't know. The song sounds like a clapback. Go ahead, Nika.
Oh, I was just, I mean, and I love Ariana Grande with all my heart, but she literally, from that quote, sounds like one of the dumbest people I've ever
heard of. Yeah. A lot of likes, a lot of literally.
Ariana Grande definitely doesn't believe in vaccines and like has crystals on her bedside table, but never cleans them during a full moon. Oh, like, yeah, that kind of girl.
Little piggy, piggy's mom. Or I mean, it's like, yeah, I feel like she's just got a ton of dogs and they're very cute, but there's a lot of, if she was by herself, I don't know if she could handle all the dogs and pigs. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's really home. That's why she can produce album after album because she has nothing else occupying her brain.
I agree with that assessment. I do think people who I think the same applies to Taylor Swift in a different way. I think I don't remember who if it was Teresa or Anya I'd talked to about this. I was talking with someone about it. And I remember I was saying the difference between the two of them, because look, they both manufacture the hell out of themselves. I mean, you know, Ariana literally like has a deal with American Express, I think. But I think the difference between the two is that Ariana's kind of commodified her emotions in a way that's very, you know, even if it's whatever is doctored or whatever is made like specifically public. I feel like when Taylor Swift does it, you're watching someone solve a math problem. Like it's someone who does all the extra credit homework. Like, you know, they're going to be the valedictorian, whereas Ariana is just happy to get in a good college. I don't know. That's like the best way.
Well, I feel okay. I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with this portrayal of Ariana because I think that there's a level of being so, like who you are meant to be. Like we talked about this on the last one, Eli, actualization, like that some can find it dumb because there's certain mistakes that are social mistakes you might make that people like, I totally agree with you, Nika, about how this sounds stupid, but then I also got the meaning from it and the meaning isn't stupid. So I feel like what she'd realize is like, I'm going to be me without trying to like make this sound eloquent because I get to skip that because I'm Ariana Grande and you get to decide what I mean because, and we know what she means. So in a way, I think it's actually really smart because the shortcut, it's a shortcut. She just realized like she could transfer the same data and information that's in her head, which is smart, without using the time to learn the like big words to like performatively make us think she's smart. She can just give us the info.
I don't think it's that deep personally. Like
I do. Okay.
I kind of think Ariana Grande is just like a rich wop from Boca. Like I went to high school with her. She's like, she seems super sweet and she's extremely talented and she's a workhorse, but she's also a WAP from Boca with good fillers.
Wait, who did you go to high school with, Nika? What did you, that part?
Oh, out. I said that I you know, she's a WAP from Boca Raton, and right, I went right. to high school with girls like this, you know, yeah. as an Italian American. Hmm. We're all kind, you know, the majority right. of us are kind of like that.
I actually, by the way, I went to college in Boca. That's just a brag. Yeah,
I went to Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, I thought there would be rehabs there.
No, most people.
The shade.
Most people don't know that I went to Florida Atlantic University, which is home of the Fighting Owls, and. Also, another alum from there, Dashboard
Are you filling
Confessional.
Out a Mad Lib right now, Eli?
It's really similar to Tish, you know?
You went to college with Dash.
University was
no, no,
like
I didn't.
Oh, wow, okay, I did go to Tish, yeah. so fine, drag me.
I didn't, wait, sorry, Teresa, hold on. You're like kind of jumping ahead there. No, I didn't go to college with Dashboard. He went to the same college as me. Chris Carrabba is also from Florida. And he, he went to Florida Atlantic and did like a homecoming show there. And I went and it was very emotional.
Wait, can I tell my Boca story really quick? It's a very quick story. But it's,
no.
You know, Ari is from Boca, so we better talk about it. I have a friend from Boca and I happen to be in Fort Lauderdale for a comedy related thing. And Boca is right next door. So I was like, hey, I'm in Florida. Let's hang out. And she was like, ooh, yeah, girl. Like, I'm going to take you out on like a Florida night out. And so she picks me up and she's like, so what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know, like whatever you and your friends normally do on a Friday night. And she took me to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
Woo!
Except the things I cannot change.
I mean, in a sense, it's like, I mean, talking about skipping the timeline, she just took out the time. Like, it's like when you, she was going to take you out to a crazy party night, but if you fast forward, what do crazy party nights end if you like skip ahead 10, 20 years? And hey, she was like, I'm going to take you to the finish line of what?
Yeah.
Like, this is the ultimate party. Boca night out is.
Yeah, this is the logical conclusion.
The last minute of the movie. You don't need to watch the first 75 minutes. Here's the last minute of the movie.
And then we went to a bar and played pool and nobody drank except for me because I was the only one that wasn't sober out of all of her friends. And it was a smoking indoors bar. And
do you remember the name of the bar by any chance?
No, it was like a bar with a ton of pool tables and they smoked inside. That's all I know. And it was not in Boca. It was like next door to Boca somewhere.
Oh my God. If it's the place I'm thinking of that you went to, I'm going to scream because I used to go there all the time with my best friend. It was this bar called, I think it was called TW's. And what they had a bunch of pool tables and we used to just go get drunk and play pool because that's all you can fucking do in Boca adjacent cities.
Was it like there was a room that was just pool tables and then there was like a bar in a different room?
Yes. That's what,
okay.
Wait, was there a bathroom and a door and then like a
and a parking lot with cars and yes, all those things were there.
I just meant like the pool tables weren't in the same room as the bar is all I was
yes,
there.
It's I we've that's so insane that we've been to the same
been
place.
In the same place. Wow.
Before we met
in Ari's stomping grounds no less.
And well, technically my stomping grounds too.
Yeah, no, but let's be real. It's Ari's.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm more Fort Lauderdale's more my. That's I'm the mayor of the Fort Lauderdale.
speaking of Florida, and I want to do my bathroom theory. I don't know how to transition.
Oh, okay. Wait. That's what was next. Anyways, I was just gonna say the last lyric that I picked out because Teresa made a TikTok about this. Which is, she says, I vibrate high and my circle lit. And you said...
Okay. But here's what it sounds like. And nobody corrected me. So I feel like other people have heard this. And I feel like this is right. My fiber high and my circle lit. We ain't really with drugs and shit. And then she says, because I like my shit. Okay. You guys. My fiber high. She's singing about her poop. Her circle is the toilet, okay? And then she says, we're not really with drugs and shit because it's like, you know, you get constipated when you do drugs. And then I like my shit. She's singing about her bowel movements, okay? This is a song.
Listen, she's singing about being a little piggy who likes it up her ass.
Well, she does also have a line later about drinking coffee in her bubble.
Wait, let's okay.
We'll get there.
We can't.
Ariana Grande is a little piggy who loves anal. Okay.
Wait, are perfect, okay? So don't even try
Ariana to... Ariana Grande is appropriating trans culture by talking about anal sex, and we need to have a convo, me and her, about
it. We'll say, kind of on the lines of, because Ariana Grande is very often on the, she's in the hot seat with cultural appropriation kind of constantly. And I do think that she and Taylor Swift both suffer from the same disease where they think that all criticism is haters.
That's like, called the that's called a case of billionaire's dilemma.
And this is a great example where she and Taylor both have like a ton of songs about like, you know, not listening to criticism essentially. As they shouldn't. No, there are a couple things I think they could stand to improve upon. And so that's my main issue with this song, is I just don't really need to hear a rich, like, famous person tell me not to criticize them. It's like, babe, you have everything. I think we can also kind of be like, hey, maybe don't do this. I know that she gets an absurd amount of hate and not all of it is warranted. And that's fine. Good for her. Like, tell people to shut up, God bless, but I do kind of reserve the right to kind of roll my eyes every time a pop star comes out with this song, because pop star has a version of this song.
That's okay, well, when you survive the Manchester bombing, Anya, why don't you with that hot take?
I will say that one of the Mac Miller thing that I was referring to, that genius.com interprets the "we ain't really with drugs and shit" is about her not doing drugs because of Mac Miller's drug addiction, which I think is a little bit of an insensitive take.
Yeah. I think that's insane. I think that is bad shit insane. Whoever wrote that needs to fuck off. All right, let's get to the main attraction here. We're going to talk about my personal favorite song from the album, probably Ari's.
Shut Up is one of my favorites. So I mean, on the record, I also love 30 for 35, but
I'm shocked by this.
I don't know how I feel now that I know it's not about bowel movements.
Is it also your favorite song on the album, Anya?
I like it, but it's
I'm in a room full of people with no taste.
It's one of my favorites.
Sorry. Hold on. Sorry, just so we don't lose track here. Are we talking about 34-35 or Shut Up being one of our
34-35?
No, that's one of my favorites. One of my favorites on this album.
Yeah, I'm saying that I think 34-35 is not a great song.
I like 34-35, but Shut Up,
Nika.
What?
You don't like it at all?
Yeah. No, it's a fine song, but to say it's my favorite song on the album.
What is your favorite song on the album?
POV, duh.
Mika, you gotta stop presenting your opinions like they're fact. We're just asking.
They are.
I like the sell, because you are. You're just like, POV. What the fuck else would it be?
Well, I just thought Eli was. I'm shocked by Eli only because you constantly like my POV tweets. So I just assumed
Top five. Yeah. I mean, that's probably a top five.
I only have two songs on that album that I really love.
What's the other? What about Just Like Magic? Because that's...
No, it's POV and then, what is it, Positions?
Oh, I like Positions too. That's true.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Positions is that good. There's two songs she have that are on there. One is with The Weeknd and the other is with Ty Dolla $ign, and both are good. They're
off
like the emotionally.
Table. Oh yeah, Off the Table.
And Love Language.
Yeah.
Oh my God, why am I blanking on the one with Ty? What's that song called? Safety Net.
Safety Net.
Such a good song.
Safety Net, that's right.
That's such a good song.
Yeah.
Okay, so 34-35. I'm gonna buzz through the credits here really quick. Also written by Ariana Grande, Tommy Brown, Steve Franks, Peter Lee Johnson, Tyler Parks. This one had Victoria Monet also writing on it. Scott Nicholson, Xavier Herrera and Albert Stenya. I might be pronouncing that wrong.
Anytime someone's getting their freak on, you can pretty much guarantee that Victoria is one of the writers.
Ooh. That's true. That's true. And produced by Tommy Brown, Steve Franks, Xavier Herrera, and Peter Lee Johnson. And by the way, I just want to say one thing about this song. I've heard it on the radio, and it's really upsetting that the radio version is like Love Me to the Daylight or something. I mean, the song has so many allusions, even in a censored version, that they have to beep out any words. I don't know why we still censor songs on the radio. It's very upsetting.
Stupid. It makes no sense. I mean, think about WAP. Think about how they butchered WAP for the radio.
Gushy. Go to jail. Whoever.
WAP should have been the song where we all agreed we don't do radio edits anymore. That should have been the song to be like, we're done. We're done with that. Let's just listen.
Wait, they called what they call it a wet ass gushy?
No, they called it wet and gushy.
What the heck are we still doing with radio edits? Like, kids have TikTok and phones. It's like, the airwaves, they don't even know how to use a radio. Only old people are using radios.
Also, at the end, when she says, like, you know, like, I want a 69 with you, it just goes like it's just her hitting a high note for the entire, it just goes like, like really high note for that entire part of it on the radio. It's embarrassing.
Oh, wait.
I want a 69 with him too. And I don't even like 69.
I'm not a big, I think 69's fine. Like, as a position is fine. As a song, it's much better, actually.
My take.
Who actually enjoys 69?
It's too community oriented for me.
I feel like I can't even comment on it because I already have a bit about it. And anytime I talk about it, it's just like, it seems like I'm doing my bits, but it is.
69 is, you know, 69 is like mutual aid.
I agree because it's like if you were on stage, you wouldn't also want to be the audience. Like, I don't want to be watched while I'm watching the orchestra. You know, I want to be.
Thank you. I'm like, when I'm sucking your dick, all focus on me. And when you're taking me out, all focus on me.
True. It's a performance when I'm down there. You better be like watching my form, my arm.
I don't know.
Like,
wait. Sorry. I have to cut everybody off. I just want to say something. I don't know if you can tell because my camera, this is such an old Mac I'm on. My face is beet red. I am crying from this entire thing. It is so funny.
I do take it almost as an insult when I'm like going down on a guy and he like, you know, when they like do that thing where you can tell they're trying to like swing you over to.
Yeah.
Dude, no, like I take that as an insult. I feel like it's not enough for him that I'm like already doing this gift, you know?
Well, it feels so performative where like everybody, I don't know what it is that people think it's accomplishing, but it just isn't at like, especially if I'm in like daddy mode, I'm not going to suddenly be like, oh, hold on, here's something for everybody. Like, it's like exactly what Nika said, where it's like a communal thing. Like, it's just not like, no, everybody
like
can
the
get
pie and throwing up the pie at the same time. Like, why?
Yeah.
And I'll say even with women, I'm not, because it's the same. I want to be fully focused. It's like, there's a plenty of metaphors, but it's the same. You just can't vote. Like,
and it's too difficult.
All it is your mouth and that's it. Like, it's not a whole body thing that you're not focused on the person and you're hearing them and you're connect. It's like, and also, Nika, are we trying to save time? We're not. Who's trying to save time while they're 69? Why do we?
I know. Yeah. It's like, do you have somewhere you need to be right now? Like, Nika, do you still think Ariana is stupid when she sparks discussions of this caliber?
I didn't say she was stupid. I said, I don't think there's a lot going on there. Two different things.
I know.
Well, at least she can do math. She knows that
you have to be intelligent to come up with the music she comes up with. I'm just saying that sometimes people I find lately, now that everyone loves her, try to really ascribe this level of like intellectualness to her that I don't think she's even trying to pretend exists.
Yeah.
Like, Ariana Grande is like a typical Cancer. You want to like party with her and then like, you know, cuddle in bed and like watch a dumb movie. But I'm not like gonna ask her about her like opinion on the political landscape.
I'm not gonna like go, we're not turning to Ariana for like how to deal with the Israel-Palestine
conflict, yeah,
you know,
like we shouldn't do that to any pop stars. So I feel like maybe we're discussing a wrong window of people, because I'm not comparing her to, you know, like.
No, totally. I know.
But she... I will say she, sorry, but can I say this? I feel like she's like a human crystal. So
I
like,
mean, do I have a choice?
She makes you feel the energy, but the crystal is not conscious of what it, the effect it has on you. But that doesn't make me love it any less. So like she has all these nuggets of wisdom, but she's not trying to like say anything. She's just trying to be her. But being around her, you can glean a little wisdom.
She endorsed Bernie. That's my take. She endorsed Bernie. That's good enough for me.
That's all we need.
Want from her.
That's
yeah,
all we
exactly.
Need from her.
Her, yeah. Her, Halsey, and Dua Lipa were publicly pro Bernie. Those were the pop stars I can think of off the top of my head. They mm-hmm. were very pro Bernie back when it was like way before. Like it was like early on in the primaries. Anyway,
I said it once and I'll say it again. We all just need to collectively forgive Amanda Knox for being in the Yang Gang. Okay, she didn't. This is the one mistake she's ever made.
Oh man,
yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
I would say she's made some bigger mistakes. I'm just kidding. I just wanted
she's
to get
innocent.
Sassy
about it. How dare you?
Yeah. No,
look
I
at
know.
Nika's face right now. Nika and I did, we just recently recorded a Best Mistakes episode about Amanda Knox and about her innocence.
Man. Oh, great. Oh, I can't wait to hear
that. Yeah, good plug. I love an organic plug. Very good.
Yeah.
So here's Ariana's, what she has to say about 3435 on the Zach Sang show. She said, I just think it's ridiculous, so funny and stupid. We heard the strings that sounded so Disney and so orchestral and full and pure. And I was just like, yo, what's the dirtiest possible, most opposing lyric that we could write to this?
I love her. She's such a whore.
Yeah. I love it because it's like, I know I agree with you, Nika, about how she's not doing this on purpose, but I'm gleaning the wisdom of like, it's a fallacy that you can't be both. And then it's like, she just does it and then she is. And it's like, now know, she's all you have to do it to disprove it is just do it, like be the thing, and then people are like, well, she didn't blow up, she's here, so
yeah.
I think she does do that. I think she does do that on purpose, which is why I love her. Like, I value Ariana Grande because I think she like very much is aware of the like hypocritical dichotomy that you can't be both like a tiny, super high femme, like bubbly, sexual girl woman and then also be like a successful business bitch who like is like a whore, like, or like a slut, you know, like she totally owns, she like, and I don't know, I identify with that a lot. Like people try to pigeonhole you, and I mean as like a very as like a dainty tiny super supple just like really little Italian American girl, I really relate.
Wait, organic.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that Ariana is the first Disney princess who is also daddy's little cum slut. You know?
Yeah. Agreed.
I love it. I honestly was like, out of context, we weren't talking about cum, but I was talking to my mom yesterday and I was like, I literally said to her, I was like, it's like, you can just be, and it wasn't about me. Okay, now this is gonna sound really arrogant because I had to clarify that's not about me. But you could be hot, smart, funny, successful, cool, and you could just be that. But people get so mad if, like, certain people get mad if you are all those things, and they try to like make you feel bad. But then you could just keep doing it and be like, I'm still doing it. So too bad you didn't make me feel bad. And it's, I think Ariana fits that really well because it's like
absolutely love when a pop star has all those things and loves to get railed. I'm here for all of it. So
I heard that
you can have it all.
Hot ass fiance. Oh.
Is he hot?
He just seems like a Disney.
He's so hot. He looks like every non-binary lesbian I had ever had a crush on.
I guess I haven't seen him enough. He's always like hidden in the stuff that I've seen. That I'm like,
he's
really
so hot, and I know that he can. I know he is slanging dick.
He looks tall. He's very tall.
And I also know that Ariana Grande's pussy definitely smells like warm vanilla Victoria's Secret sugar spray.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
For what sure. An.
That's my theory.
Oh my god! So, she probably has the tiniest, most perfect little pussy.
The tiniest, fat pussy.
I can't tell if this is empowering or what's the word? I mean, I know it's empowering, but then I'm like, just had a thought where I was like, if
no, we're objectifying her for sure.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, but it's like feminist objection.
She
also objectification.
Also squeaky clean butt. Okay, like she drinks a lot.
I'm just saying, me and Ariana Grande probably have a similar pussy. super tiny and very fat.
I can't fucking wait for this episode to drop. This is gonna be so, our fucking at replies are gonna blow up.
Would love. I mean, I know it's. This is just a joke, but I just think about how guys in middle school compared penises, and I'm just like, I would love to somewhere Gen Z plus, like, you know, exponential Gen Z to the umpteenth Z is like it. We reached a point where people are just like, my pussy's tighter than yours.
Oh, we've reached that point. I don't know where you've been, but we have.
I just want, I'm flashing back to science camp in sixth grade when the boys were comparing penises. And then I'm like, okay, we'll have gone too far when the girls in sixth grade are comparing how tight their pussies are.
Like, let's maybe not talk about sixth grade pussy right now.
Yeah, okay, I'm just talking about me. Okay, you're right. I was thinking as a child, through my POV,
puritanical Gen Z bitch, Anya.
I know.
I had to look back, and then I heard what I said. I was
Gen Z's puritanism is rubbing off on me. I've been on TikTok. I just got back on TikTok, and I'm realizing that Gen Z are more prudish than like boomers, honestly, and it's very
bizarre. Yeah. They keep tweeting shit like we need to stop having sex scenes in movies. I'm gonna have a fucking stroke if I keep seeing that. I'm just like,
if you're 21 and you're fucking 18 year old, you should go to jail.
You're a pedophile.
I'm like, what? God. Listen, the cutoff is 20. Listen, as someone who's gonna be 26 this month, for fucking an 18 year old, I think the appropriate cutoff, if you want to have one, should be 26 and above. It gets a little bit tricky, but even then, it's no one's business.
You know, I think it emotionally, there's a range of like that we don't, there's teenagers, but now I think we need a new word for like that 18 to 26. It's a different, it's even different.
17. I mean, I don't know. I was fucking at 16 and 17, and everyone I was fucking,
returns.
Everyone I was fucking was 25 and above.
Well, I will say, when your prefrontal cortex, like that prefrontal cortex fully developed, I think around 27 to 30, different for everyone. It also coincides with Saturn returns for astrologists out there. And I do think we need a new term for that period of development, because you're not a child, you're an adult, but you're not.
But it's a young adult.
Yeah. It's like, to me, isn't weird for an 18 year old to fuck a 26 year old, because in a lot of ways, I mean, obviously it's weird if there's a 26 year old that exclusively fucks 18 year olds.
Well, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Right. I was about to suggest the same thing. Like, I guess it all really comes down to patterns, but not only that, like it is weird when people, how people apply this stuff. Cause isn't Bo Burnham's girlfriend like 12 years older than him? He was like 23 dating a 35 year old. And nobody's batting an eye at that. I don't have a problem with it, but like,
you're probably wrong. They probably are. Look at how Gen Z feels about it. I'm serious. Yeah. Gen Z thinks that Holland Taylor is like a predator to Sarah Paulson.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not kidding. They're extreme to a degree that I wasn't prepared for. I logged onto TikTok yesterday and was like just absolutely assaulted by their like regressive points of view.
I think, holy shit. Know what it is though? I think that they're compensating for, like, there's, with every big overreaction, there's usually a nugget of truth. There are really fucked up things. I mean, as we've seen in all the outings of predators in Hollywood, that they're just pointing to what they could see, which is these, like Sarah Paulson's relationship, I think is very healthy and very, we stand, but they're looking at that as an example, like as a stand-in for what they can't describe, the shadowy nature of predators who actually do prey.
I think the pendulum is just swinging, you know, like millennials, we were raised by such repressed people that we're obviously much more like, we react to that and by being the opposite. And I think Gen Z is just having their own reaction to being in a world that was kind of shaped by millennials. So whatever. I'm not like, they're all really young still. Like I'm the oldest you can possibly be if you're Gen Z. And so everybody is 23 and younger, you know, like, so like they're probably going to change their opinions, but right now it's annoying as fuck to be on TikTok and be like told that Holland Taylor is a predator for dating a full grown adult woman.
Grooming Sarah Paulson.
And then when I got in a debate with one of them about it, and they told me that I was bragging about being groomed because I've been attracted to older men. You're like, it's weird for you to log on and brag about being groomed. And I was like, I'm an adult.
I'll be right back. I'm gonna throw myself off this third story balcony. I'll see you guys
Miller, if you and Ariana Grande, I just looked up their age gap. They're a year apart.
Who?
Wait, people are mad about their relationship?
Mac Miller absolutely groomed Ariana Grande. He was born in 1992 and she was born in 1993.
Ooh, gross.
Nasty. Just like it's when like, they have their songs respect. On positions.
Like you were born in October. I was born in January. Wow.
So if you're a Cancer and you're dating, what's Mac Miller's sign? Like you're grooming Hold your on. Signs.
Wait, let me ask. Hey Siri, when was Mac Miller born?
He's Aquarius.
Wait. Fucking bitch.
Really?
He's
an Aquarius?
Well, it's
No, never mind. January 19th, so he's a Capricorn.
Cap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ew. I hate that. Every time I Google a celebrity's zodiac, the wrong zodiac comes up and I have to look at their birthday and then be like, "You're wrong." What?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you guys? That happens all the time. We're like, what's this person's zodiac?
Yeah,
like,
for a long time I thought it Taylor.
June birthday.
Yeah, Taylor, I think it was like, it said Libra for a while. And then I looked at her birthday. I was like, that's not right.
I think I looked that up with Carly Rae Jepsen when I first wanted to know what her signs were. And I had the wrong one. I know she's like, I think she's a Pisces. No, she is a Scorpio, but she also has, I think, a Pisces moon. It's a kind of chart that would annoy the shit out of me, but I would still let her annoy me until I start bleeding out of my nose and eyes. But
Eli is back on his soapbox about
emotions.
Anti-cancer, right?
Yeah. So, okay, let's jump. We got way off track. Steer this back. Only because we're just a little pressed on time. But yes. So Grande initially said that she was very nervous about the song, fearing that it would distract from the vulnerability and the sweetness that is the rest of the album. She stated that it was sonically one of her favorite things that she and her team have ever done, adding, "It deserved a home on the album for sure. I think that everything I do has a little bit of humor and that people know that I'm not really sitting here till dawn." Is that really the thing people were debating, that she wasn't getting fucked until daylight? Grande wrote the bridge together with songwriters Taylor Parks and Victoria Monet. American rapper Doja Cat originally had a verse in 3435, but it was later scrapped in favor of Motive from the same album. A short snippet of the scrapped version was leaked and surfaced shortly after the album was released, and Doja Cat performed it on Instagram live stream on November 7th. This is actually the first I've heard about that verse. I actually want to go hear it now because I'm really curious what her, but anyway, so, and then I don't know if I assume you guys have seen the music video for 3435.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't. Oh, it's basically just a riff on Frankenstein creating a monster and then dancing around like fembots from Austin Powers. And also there's a shot of Ariana creating the Ariana monster or the Ariana Frankenstein version of a monster. And it references the 1927 silent classic Metropolis. They like rip a shot right off. So, you know, that fucking wet by whistle. And so could I have used a grosser, less gross term?
Sorry.
Canceled. What did you say, Nika?
I was going to say, I'm making fun of her so much, but that's because I love her. I was just gonna say, Ariana Grande would be into Metropolis of all the silent movies to pick.
I'm going to,
kind of like being like, my favorite old movie is The Big Lebowski.
I would say my favorite classic is Lord of the Ring, Two Towers.
Don't come for me. Don't come right for my fucking throat.
I've never seen it because when it came out, I was too busy having sex. So.
During the Two Towers?
I don't know. When did it come out?
Like 2002?
No, I wasn't fucking when I was seven.
You were like, how old were you?
Seven.
Okay, so here, let's jump right into those lyrics.
Call me Gen Z, but I think that's a little young to be fucking, Nika.
Yeah, call me a millennial, but stop being so fucking regressive. Mechanical bitch. Yeah, I was fucking at seven.
Let's just go right with the opening line here. You might think I'm crazy the way I've been craving. If I put it quite plainly, just give me them babies. So Ariana and one of her choreographers, Scott Nicholson, wrote these lines on the album's name. Oh, he's one of the credited songwriters. Okay, I didn't realize that's Scott Nicholson. So I think that's one of the twins. That's
awesome.
Like the lead choreo guys. On the album's day of the release, a fan on Twitter asked about Scott's involvement with the song, to which Ariana replied, "Oh, the best night of my life. He bought us all this gift that is Gimme Them Babies," the line. Wow. In an interview with the Zach Sang show, she explained how the writing session went down. "I was like, what comes after? You might think I'm crazy, the way I've been craving, if I put it quite plainly." And Scott was like, "Just give me them babies," he said, that he was joking. And I was like, no, we're doing it. It's done. It's perfect. It came up as a total joke. And then I fell in love with it.
Aw, I love that she's like credited. Like, she's gotten so much better at just crediting her whole team. Not that she wasn't, but I mean, compared to, it's not the norm for all pop stars to just.
No, she like on. I think it's on the Zach Sang show. One of her appearances, she has her whole writing team mic'd with her because
That's
she's
great.
Like, "You're gonna interview me about the album. These are the guys that like helped me write it, so you should interview them too."
That's great. Yeah, that's really great. And also, in a statement for Genius, Scott said, "To have a songwriting credit on the album is a dream come true, and on such a fun, cheeky song. Her and her team have made history." I wouldn't go that far, but and continue to do so, and it's a blessing to be part of the team. So,
That far, Eli?
Sorry, do you mean her story? I think you mean her story.
Interesting. So what I just gathered from that statement is that you both hate Italians and women.
As someone who's a quarter Italian, it's internalized Italian phobia.
Eli's working on his Italian citizenship right now, so he can't go on record as hating Italians.
Oh, as someone who hates things, I have some problems with that statement. Okay, what?
Listen, as a guy just being a dude. So.
Guys being dudes.
Yeah, just my favorite genre.
If we run out of time, I just want to say I really want to talk about the earthquake line. Okay.
Yeah. Oh no, we didn't. We're good. We're burning right through this. I was tempted to just delete this part, but it says the part where she says watching movies, but we ain't seeing a thing tonight. It says Grande implies that the movie is background noise while she's having sex with her partner.
Also, thank you, genius.
This is also a play on Netflix and chill, which itself is a euphemism for sex. Ariana used a similar line on the 2016 song Moonlight from her album Dangerous Woman, where she says, "And the movie is playing, but we won't be watching tonight." So it's
that is truly the same fucking line.
Yeah. So that's really it's a great song. It is a great song.
That's very Quentin Tarantino of her to reference herself.
Well, she does it all the time.
Yeah.
She does it all the time.
She's the Quentin Tarantino of pop.
Which for me is great news. So this is her Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I still haven't watched that, Eli.
Wow. So disappointing. Okay, so the chorus, "Can you stay up all night? Fuck me till the daylight, 34, 35. Genius says 34 and 35 amount to 69, a sexual position. In with the 6 and the 9 are intended to resemble inverted sexual partners lying on each other. Let's see here. In an interview with on the Zach Sang show, she says, "The whole fuck me till daylight thing is like ridiculous because I'm tired after 1 and it's time to go to bed. For me, it's a total it's a total facade. It's bullshit. Just kidding." I like that she needed to address something so playful where she's like, "Just so my haters know, we're not going till sunlight. And by like 1 o'clock, it's like, okay, we're done." You know,
I feel like that part was her people being like, "You can try to be a slut in this song, but just in case people don't let their kids listen to you, you have to say
that you have a bedtime.
You have to
plausible deniability.
You wrap up getting railed early, okay?
Yeah,
just for the children.
You respect."
She said, then another lyric is, "Even though I'm wifey, you can hit it
I
like a side chick."
Line.
It says,
"I hate that line so much."
You do?
Why?
Yeah, I despise it. I've just been a side chick.
Elaborate.
I know. I was going to say, I think because Nika and I are perpetual side chicks, we're not a huge fan of wifeys appropriating our culture.
I see. Okay.
That's white feminism, been both, actually.
Having been both and having taken the divine wifey and the divine side chick and have them take care of the inner child, I have combined the Holy Trinity and I am both. And so I do relate to this.
Yeah.
As daddy, I'm going to weigh in.
As mommy, daddy, and baby, I yeah. would like to say that... I am both wifey, daddy, and baby.
Okay. All right, are we approaching the line?
We are. Yeah. Oh, the impatience is just pouring through the screen.
We're all just like, let's talk about anal.
Yeah, you know what? Okay. So before we get into that, I just want to get to Teresa's earthquake line.
Yes,
that's the only other one left. So it says, got the neighbors yelling earthquake 4.5 when I make the bed shake. And Genius has a whole thing about the Richter scale, which is ridiculous. And then in an interview with the Zach Sang show, Ariana shared that she wrote these lyrics after experiencing an earthquake earlier in 2020. She said, it was the night after the big earthquake, scared the shit out of me. I was like, 4.5 when I make the bed shake. That's why that lyric is there.
Wait, you skipped that whole piece, though. You skipped the come inside it like a book or whatever she says. I'm a book.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a great line.
The door open. It is. No, it's a great line. But,
I'm going to leave it open like a door,
anything.
Come inside it. Even though door. You can hit it like a side chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the wifey thing like fits in with that whole thing to me. Like by itself, it's like, but then when it's like a whole, it's like, I love a cum pun. Okay. I love a cum pun.
Who doesn't love a cum pun?
This is okay. Also, she may be joking, but this is like, you know, in every joke is a seed of truth. And I think that Ari is into the like, you know, that like pregnancy scare kind of fetish. Like people who are into like the riskiness of like, I might get pregnant.
You don't think she has an IUD?
No, of course. No, but the fetish is cum based. It's about getting inside.
It's like a real, I was once.
I've never
like,
heard of that.
It's hot. I forgot what it's called though, but whatever.
There was a couple I met once that told me about that. They're like, if you want to come in her, she's not on the pill, but it's like a thing and she's not going to get pregnant now anyways. But, you know, I think it's called risk.
Yes. It's risk play or something.
Yeah.
Ari references, give me them babies. And like, you can, I'll leave the door open. You can come inside it. It just very much feels like she's trying to like get that.
Yeah.
Totally.
I agree. All right. So now let's get to the main event of this song. So there is a line where she says
the main course.
There's a line where she says, I've been drinking coffee. You know, I keep it healthy. Or no, I've been eating healthy. I've been drinking coffee. You know, I keep it squeaky. Anya and I are convinced that she is talking about her asshole.
Yeah, that she's prepping for anal.
Yeah, she absolutely is talking about anal. It's like not you. Anyone who thinks that she's talking about anything else.
She's for sure.
Because the interpretation is that she just like waxes or something, I think is the other interpretation. Yeah,
she's talking about the fact that she has a high fiber diet so she doesn't have to douche.
Yeah.
And right.
And also
because it evacuates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
and it's an album about bowel movements, okay?
Yeah, we already clarified that she's singing about shit, all right?
It's an album about being a disgusting slut. no, it's she's such a whore. I love it.
It's an album about, you know what? Here's a better term. It's an album about holes, okay? All of the holes in your heart, the holes in your mouth,
hole queen.
The holes in your butt, the holes in your, everywhere. Yeah. Holes everywhere. Fill them all up. That's it.
The biggest argument that this is a line about anal, like the seal the deal, drop the mic, rest my case argument, is that squeaky is not a word that I want like to have anything to do with anything sexually except assholes. If my pussy's squeaking, we need to get lube involved.
My pussy only
squeaks in the shower when it's like, ugh, this is not working, you know?
Agreed. Right. Agreed.
Assholes are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, what did you say, Nika?
I said buttholes are different. My butthole definitely squeaks when I'm having a good time during sex.
Exactly. You want a squeaky butthole. You do not want a squeaky pussy. So
So just for everybody listening, in case
when my pussy
squeaks, gushy.
I want a gushy pussy and a squeaky asshole.
Yeah, when my pussy squeaks, it feels like I'm an old woman like opening up like a room in I'm putting like the key through the hole and it's like click, 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 Click. That's a speaky pussy.
Yeah. And
incredible.
Let's be honest, Ariana, there's no way Ariana is working with a squeaky pussy. She has a wet and gushy pussy. And
yes, absolutely.
Of course it's absolutely. Wet and gushy. It's full of warm vanilla sugar, Victoria's Secret body spray.
It's also, she's a her cancer. So
I was just going to say, she's a cancer. So that's like pure water. Who wouldn't have a cancer? You know?
Full of water and pussy.
So normally we rate the songs on a scale of 1 to 5, high ponytails, but I think we're going to rate this song on a scale of 1 to 5 squeaky holes.
Yes. Okay. We need to update it because the high pony, the era
of high
pony.
First day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Okay, squeaky holes.
Squeaky holes.
So both songs, what would you rate each of you on a scale of 1 to 5? How many squeaky holes for each song?
I would give Shut Up 2.5 squeaky holes. I would give 34 plus 35. I'd give it 4 squeaky holes.
Mm. All right, Anya? Yeah.
That's a fair rating, I think. I would agree Shut Up is somewhere between a 2.5. And no, you know what? It's not a 3. It's firmly a 2.5 for me. I think it's like, you know, it's a great opening to an album. It sets a tone. But as a standalone song, I'm never trying to listen to that song. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never like, oh, turn Shut Up on.
You're right. It is better as a, in context of the album, it certainly has more of a cumulative effect versus like,
it just reminds
play
me
that song on a playlist. Like,
this is blasphemy.
Well, no, I give the song, first off, wait, really quick. Let's, Teresa and I, let's go through our ratings. Mine is for Shut Up, I would say is
wait,
four.
I didn't rate 34, 34.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Anya. I'm sorry.
What the fuck? Okay. So 2.5 squeaky holes for Shut Up, and then 34, 35. It's five squeaky holes for me. It's like one of my Ariana songs that like will just forever be welcome. You know, if it comes on, I'm listening to it.
Yes. Okay, good. I give Shut Up 4 out of 5. I do like it a lot because you're right. Even though it on its own, it's not like part of any other playlist. It's still, when I listen to that album, I listen to it in its entirety usually. So it really hits hard. 34, 35, obviously 5 very squeaky holes.
Yeah, squeakiest holes.
I mean, just the most squeakiest. And what about you, Teresa?
Mom, you can pick me up. My holes are squeaky.
Wow. Okay. This is
love a tweet format on the Zoom. Love a tweet format on the Zoom.
I just have to say, this is why none of you are 0.1% top Ariana Grande Spotify fans. Okay.
And I'm not trying to take that from you.
Listen, I almost made my chosen name Ariana, so I don't want to hear it. Okay. It was on the list.
Ariana Lamazzo. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know, but if I had done that, I would have had to have stayed in Rhode Island, talked like this, definitely killers, and like married a Republican. Like, it wouldn't have worked in New York City, Ariana Lamazzo. No.
Yeah, no, you're right. That has like a lot of, at most, that's Long Island. It's definitely not city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very like Long Island, Staten Island, which I love both, and I will live in either one day. But
well, okay, you know what? That's fine. I forgive. I am a very forgiving person, but I have to say, Shut Up gets 4.5 squeaky holes. I fill in all the holes up, and 34, 35, I will give it 4. But I'll give it, you know, I'm going to give it to the squeaky hole. So that's my final answer.
Okay.
All right. Well, this was a great first episode back with the group. I absolutely love talking 34, 35. That I'm surprised we talked about Shut Up as much as we did, to be honest. I thought that was going to be like a quick zip, but we got juicy stuff on both songs here. And thank you both for coming on. Please plug your pod.
Thank you for having me. Oh, yeah. We have a pod called Best Mistakes. We release our episodes every Thursday. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and like follow also us on Instagram and Twitter.
What are your handles?
Plug it.
Sorry, my handle's on everything. Nika Lamazzo, Anya. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mine is also just my name. Anya Volts on everything. And then if you listen, if you are so obliged, our podcast is about mistakes. So we read other people's mistakes on the podcast and talk about it. So if you would like to email in a mistake, also feel free to do that. bestmistakespod@gmail.com. We got some fucking gnarly ones and we love reading them.
I also
it's a good podcast. I've listened. I just was listening to an episode last night. I drove past the Grove, which is a big hangout spot for me and Anya. I got very emotional listening to it while passing the Grove, but it is a great podcast. And of course, Teresa and I'm at Eli Olsberg.
Well, I just want to say, if you guys want to correct the mistake of the low squeaky butthole ratings you gave, you could do that on your pod.
We'd never be having Teresa on the pod. Teresa is banned from the pod.
Wow. Okay. Wow. You can follow me at Larissa T. Also, we're cool with this, I would love to go out on this song, but my boyfriend did a mashup of Shut Up with the Eat Skirt thing from SNL, and it works well because it sounds like Ariana telling Pete Davidson to shut the fuck up. So maybe we'll play that here if that's cool. But
yeah, give it a quick hit.
I like it a lot. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can. I don't know how to do it here, but we'll play it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Send it to me, and I'll add it on.
You guys can follow. Okay, wonderful. Oh, actually, he's not a comedian, and probably doesn't want me to plug him. So I won't plug his social. But
it's always weird when people want to keep their social media private. What?
Follow Teresa's. Follow Teresa's boyfriend at Larissa T.
Yeah, follow. He ghostwrites for me. No, I'm just kidding.
And for anyone listening, our Instagram is pod issawoman with two S's. And thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.